This is a replay of the Tuesday night, August 8th, WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
I'm Raleigh James. We've got 3 hours to spend together. Plenty on my mind, but whatever is on yours will absolutely trump that. 888-876-5593. 8888-Raleigh. So here we are in the middle of a small but impressive solar storm, and that will last allegedly through the 10th. Now, these are forecasts, and just like weather forecasts that say there's a 70% chance of rain and nothing happens, it's the same kind of deal. But in the event of a good solar storm, well, if you like DXing, this is your moment. Now, as I say that, you know, it's interesting that they're predicting a solar storm the like of 1859. So I guess I need to back up and talk about the Carrington event, if you missed it. It was the most intense geomagnetic storm in recorded history. Now, again, not necessarily the most, most intense, but the most recorded. And that was 1st of September in 1859 and solar cycle 10. And the strong auroral displays were just global. And what's interesting is by 1859, we were having the beginning of telephony and telegraphs and things like that. And so there was plenty of things that could be on display. And boy, were they. You saw things sparking. You saw fires. It was just huge as far as that goes. We haven't seen anything like the Carrington event since then. And what's interesting, of course, is the reason that there was such a spectacular show was because of where we were starting to be technologically. But think about where we are now and see whether or not what could happen next year, the year after, may in fact be the beginning of the end as we know it, so to speak. We've had less severe solar storms since then that have been notable. 1921, and that was early radio and widespread disruption, absolutely there. 1989, especially if you're in Canada, you might remember the geomagnetic storm knocked out the power grid across large sections of Quebec. And 2012, there was more. 2013, they were predicting that it was really going to be something, but it wasn't. So you got a lot of research out there, but in terms of what could happen, well, again, it's a forecast. It doesn't mean anything as far as that goes. But there are many people who are predicting a return of 1859 in the next 2 years. But think about what that would knock out. Yeah, that could be tremendous. But in the meantime, for the next couple of days, if you like to DX, go have at it. This is the time to do that. AM or FM. 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. And we'll start it off with Marianne in Chicago. So Marianne has a request, don't you know? All right, what do you want to hear, Marianne?
Hey, well, I had a request, and I just wanted to run something by you. So what do you want first?
Whatever you want.
Okay. I listened to a I don't know if you know David Greenberg, the travel expert on WGN on the weekends.
Okay.
I don't know what major airline it is, but they are, one of the major airlines is adding Braille on their flights.
Oh.
I guess like for the lavatory and the seat numbers and the overhead storage.
Okay.
And I know you have, you know, many listeners with vision problems. I don't know if they travel or if this would encourage them to travel, but I wanted to pass that along, and I thought maybe you already knew it.
You know, I hadn't, but the sad truth is probably at this point in time, only 10% of blind people can read Braille.
Oh.
It's really sad, and it's, you know, as far as I'm concerned, it's a real loss when you don't. But it's easy not to learn Braille now because there are so many readers and so many things that will talk to you and things of that nature that every time I see the Braille statistics, I just cringe.
Yeah, I never thought about that with everything, you could, like you say, will talk to you.
Right, exactly. And with barcoding and stuff like that. But, yeah, I think that it's not only that probably a little under 10% of people who are legally blind can read Braille, but here's the really bad news. Only 10% of blind children are being taught it.
Well, they're not teaching kid cursive handwriting.
Well, I was just about to say that.
They don't know how to read a regular clock with hands on it.
Oh, I know.
They don't know how to use a payphone or a rotary phone.
Right. Well, my favorite was still a kid, couldn't have been more than three, maybe four, on an airline who picked up the in-flight magazine from the seat back in front of him and started to basically try to swipe the pages and turn to his father and, "Dad, it's broken!" You know, and
cute.
Yeah, it's very unfortunate. Now, only, I guess it's about 26% of blind people who are fully employed, the majority of them are Braille readers. But there was a survey last year that said 7% of people in America registered as blind or partially sighted use Braille.
I'm guessing the ones that use Braille the most are baby boomers.
Well, you would think that because of age. I don't.
And
because of know.
Technology and everything with the younger people.
Yeah, of course. No doubt. Now, as far as low vision, there's a lot of large print in use that are allowing people who still have some vision to handle it. But audio is cheaper and easier to provide, which is a part of it. So teaching Braille is more expensive. So I think some of that is just goes by the wayside, and it is absolutely horrible. Now, Chris Danielson, and I sort of know this guy because he is with a National Federation of the Blind, and I run their PSAs on my radio station, so I hear from him periodically. And he had said that around 1960, 58% of blind students use Braille, and today that's less than 10%. So
that's a shame.
And so he feels that Braille is more efficient than reading print. And, I would think that's probably true. And a lot of my 45s that I have from radio stations in days gone by still have the Braille right on them. I can't read it, but, I can feel it. It's there. I'm not 100% sure, but, Braille can now be used with electronic tools. So access is getting better. So maybe we'll see something turn around. I don't know.
I don't know. I always get a chuckle out of, when I go to my drive-through ATM, and it has Braille on the ATM.
Okay. Yeah, I know.
And I'm like, I guess they just make them all like this in case it's a walk-up one.
Yeah, I wonder about.
Oh dear God! I hope somebody's not driving that needs Braille.
Right. Yeah, that. Probably all like that. But yes, there's so many things about drive-throughs I wonder about. Recently, the post office that I frequent install new mailboxes in the drive-thru, except they're all pointing in the wrong direction. So for the life of me, I don't get it. What do you drive? What I did, of course, is exactly that. I drove up, opened my door, got out of the car, walked around to the other side and put my mail in. I thought, you know, this has got to be an accident. But so far, I haven't seen anybody decide they were going to change the position. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, obviously, whoever designed it doesn't use it.
Well, I guess.
You know, think about it. When you go into a bathroom and they have the rails, you know, the handicap grip bars.
Yeah.
Where's the toilet paper? Almost on the floor where you almost have to get off the toilet to reach it.
Oh, that's interesting.
And I'm like, this makes no sense to me at all. It should be mounted above that grab bar. Why is some disabled or elderly person got to raise their butt off of their toilet so they can reach this big thing that's almost on the floor of toilet paper?
It does make you wonder, doesn't it?
I'm guessing that person never had to be in a position to use that.
Well, see, that's the need for ergonomics as far as that goes. I'm sure there should be some ergonomic efficiency expert who could deal with that. But as far as the ATMs, what I suspect it is one size fits all. So the same ATM that's in the drive-through lane is probably the same one where you'd walk up and they'd just say, well, that's the way they are. And that's the way they are. So,
but how would a person know if they were getting money out if they got the right amount?
You know,
I've
complained about that at length. I would think, and I understand that the idea of brailing money would be very costly. However, they could make bills different sizes and shapes.
Yeah, if they did, though, then they'd have to remodify every other machine that takes.
But they did that a while ago. You know, when we got the neat little pictures and all that kind of thing, they went through this kind of thing one time. But you know, it's a segment of society who are just blatantly discriminated against and ignored, and it just drives me crazy.
Well, and I'm vertically challenged. I'm under 5 feet tall.
All right.
And I'm like, I was at the therapy today, and I'm looking at the coat hooks they had on the wall, and I'm like, I'd have to ask somebody to help me, or I'd have to get a step stool to reach that.
Right, right.
The thing where they were taking your temperature during COVID is mounted on the wall. I went up to it just to see. It was over my head. And I'm like,
probably for the best.
Yeah, but the good thing about being short is I meet a lot of really nice, tall, good-looking men in the store that I can say, could you please get that for me?
Exactly. There you are. All right. Well, that's looking on the bright side. Now, you had a request.
Well, one more thing. I saw a T-shirt that said short girls.
Uh-huh.
God only lets things grow until they're perfect.
Oh,
some of us don't take as long as others.
Oh, jeez. All righty then.
Okay, then to get to my request, can I hear something by maybe the Stylistics?
Yes, I'm going to play a Stylistics tonight, too.
Oh, okay, cool. And maybe something by Jerry Butler. You pick it.
Okay, might be tomorrow night for Jerry, but you'll hear Stylistics tonight.
Yay.
All right, thanks, Marianne.
Okay, good night, everybody.
Okay, bye. So, 888-876-5593. So I was thinking about Johnny D. when I saw this story. The headline was, Mysterious Denny, 90,000-year-old child whose parents were two different... two different what? Well, apparently two different human species. I had to go to the article to find out two different what. So about 90,000 years ago, an interesting child walked the earth, a young human hybrid. As far as we know, aliens are not in the story. Nicknamed Denny by the scientists. I'll tell you all about her. Yes, it's an ancient girl coming up. And your calls, too. So 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh on WGN Radio.
I'm asking you, boom, 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 boom.
Please be my girlfriend. I've been waiting for a long, long time. For that moment I could call you mine. Oh, little girl, say yes.
I tell you,
yes, yes.
Why don't you be my
girlfriend? Please give my heart one little chance. And we can build a sweet romance. I really love you so.
Please let me prove it to you. I love you, man.
And I feel this way.
until eternity. Please be my girlfriend. I want to be your lover, lover boy. Baby doll, please fill my heart with joy. Please say yes.
I tell you
yes, yes.
Why don't you be my
prove it to you. I love you madly, and I feel this way until eternity. Please be my girl.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That, of course, the Cadillacs, My Girlfriend, 1957 on Josie. Yeah, and that was one of Scotty's requests. And it was Stacy the other day who, after we turned down all of hers, said, well, play something Scotty liked. Well, there you go. There's another one Scotty liked, indeed, My Girlfriend. 888-876-5593. Now, back to Denny here. All right, so Denny, as I say, parents from two different human species. Not quite as exciting as I thought when I saw only part of the headline. I thought maybe there was going to be a sheep involved, but there isn't. Her mother was a Neanderthal, and her father was a Denisovan. Now, see, right there, you got me, because I didn't realize there was a categorization known as the Denisovans. And I guess this is from the Denisova cave. But, you know, I know about Neanderthal, I know about Homo sapien and Cro-Magnon. Denisovan? Well, Johnny D's the expert on all things hominid, so what's the deal with the Denisovans? Johnny D.
Normally during the week now, I just listen and I try to refrain from calling because I don't want to become a nuisance. But, you know, you coached me in the night with this Denisovan story. And I think you got it backwards. I think the father was a Neanderthal and the mother was a Denisovan.
All right, well, I'm just reading what I have here. I believe you. I'll take your opinion. But I was hoping that one of them was going to be a mammoth or a sheep, but that didn't turn out to be the case.
I brought up to you about a year ago when I was breaking it down how, you know, Homo sapiens went into Europe. And then I said to you, they just discovered this new species of human was a called Denisovans because they found found Denny's bones. All right.
Yep, in 2018.
Which was this girl.
Yep, 2018.
2018, and she had the DNA. The father was a Neanderthal, and the mother was a Denisovan, which were found in this cave in Siberia, I think, in Russia. Mm. Okay, the Denisovans, and they named them Denisovan because there was an old monk that lived in this cave a long time ago, his name was Denny. All right, this monk. Okay. So they named the Denisovans Denisovans. All right, after Denny, an old monk.
Mm-hmm.
Now. They were different species, you know, because when they did the DNA, they found that it was half Neanderthal DNA and half of this new species, Denisovans, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Denisovan DNA is found in people living today, mostly in, like, Papua New Guinea and they live in Australia.
Or Cicero.
Australia.
Hang on a minute. Huh? Don't go away. Stay right where you are. I'm blowing the news. Stay right where you are. We'll pick it up right here on WGN Radio.
Hello, baby. Can you talk?
Can you talk?
Is your old man at home? Can you talk? Are you there all alone? Is everything all right? Can we meet again tonight? Call me when he's gone. you talk? Is he there by the phone? If you can't, say the number is wrong. Has he gone to sleep?
Can we find a place to leave?
Call me when he's gone. I don't know.
Radio, I'm Raleigh James. So there it was, 1973, and the Battle of the Has-Beens. Ron Holden and Vernon Green both released it at the same time. Oh, it was a good record by both of them. Can You Talk? That's the Ron Holden version on Now. Ron would have turned 84 yesterday. And, of course, his big hit was Love You So, which, as far as I'm concerned, it was the offbeat Calavas that made it. And interestingly, his ex-wife was a listener of mine in San Diego decades ago, and she called one night and recalled that recording session because she was there. And they gave her the Calavas, and she was supposed to beat them on beat. And she couldn't do it. Absolutely couldn't. And I mean, Ron Holden came unglued on her. And turned out that was what, you know, made the record so popular in some ways. But anyway, he later wound up in Tijuana, just south of San Diego. And then the ex was in San Diego. But yeah, in 73, I thought Can You Talk was a great record. And I'm kind of on the fence of whether I like it better by Vernon Green, you know, and the Medallions, or Ron Holden. They were both good. All right, so 888-876-5593. I was just seeing articles about how these unprecedented 100-degree temperatures in Siberia, never seen it before. And then I think, wait a minute. Yeah, and they're saying it's definitely man-made. Well, how about when it was a tropical forest and things of that nature? And so 90,000 years ago, this one cave, and I think that's the only place that anybody's found a Denisovan yet, but Johnny D is our resident hominid expert. So, hey, everybody's got to know something about something, and Johnny D knows his hominins. All right, so here's the deal. Have they found any evidence of Denisovans anywhere other than the Siberian cave?
Is that question to me?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'll say this. From what I've heard and read and seen on YouTube, they found what they suspect is a Denisovan skull.
Where?
Okay.
Where?
In China.
Okay.
In China.
Okay.
In a well. In a well.
In a well.
That some Chinese guy was working on the Japanese, when the Japanese went in and were at war with China or something, they had some prisoners of war, and they were digging, they were making them dig some kind of something for a road or something. And this Chinese guy found this skull, okay, uh-huh, in perfect condition, uh-huh, okay? And it's called Homo Longi. They call it Homo Longi, L-O-N-G-I, I believe. And he knew that this was something significant, so he didn't want the Japanese to get it. So he somehow concealed it, and then he put it in a well over there in China somewhere, you know, around where he lived.
For safekeeping.
And then, huh?
For safekeeping.
For safekeeping, yes, for safekeeping. And then he didn't tell anybody until he was on his deathbed, and he told his grandchildren or something about it, mm-hmm, right? They went and looked, and there was this big skull, and it's a huge skull.
Was the whale, wait a minute, let's talk about the whale a moment. By then, was the whale deceased as well?
No. A whale, like what you give water out.
Oh, a whale. I thought you said he put it in a whale. I was thinking, now how exactly did, I thought we were talking about Jonah here. I'm thinking, how does this exactly work? Okay,
no,
a
no,
whale.
No, Raleigh.
A whale.
I'll
right,
take the blame for that. My speech is not.
All right.
You know,
a
I got
well,
some dental issues.
Very, very, very good. All right. A well. All right. And so they found
a
this.
A well. Yeah.
And
where
this,
you get water out.
Yes.
Of,
this
right?
was this was in China, and they think that this is also a Denisovan.
Right. Did you look it up?
Well, I'm just parsing your conversation here. This was a yes or no, actually, but that's okay. A little background always helps. So now here's what I want to know. Other than the Denisovan in the well, the rest of them we do believe are from this cave in Siberia.
Right.
Okay. So now,
but they've also found, I don't know, 5 skulls somewhere else. Mm-hmm. See, your Denisovans, DNA is found in like southeast, you know, like the Philippines.
All right, Oceania.
Oceania.
All right.
You know, and like where they found, you know, Java and all that in Indonesia.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. All right.
So anyhow, people.
I got another
question. What do you want
to know? Here's what else I want to know. All right. What were the temperatures back then? Because at one time I know that Siberia was subtropical.
Well, you're right, Raleigh. You see, with all this global warming and this and that, like you said it once, it's cyclical. In
yes.
other words, every so many 100,000 years.
Yes, of course.
The Earth goes through a climate change.
So here's my question.
A glacial yeah. period,
right.
and interglacial.
Okay, so here's what I want to know. When this Denisovan cave was really at its zenith, was it subtropical then?
Well, when the Denisovans
yeah.
and the Neanderthals were
yeah.
inhabiting it,
yeah.
it
then.
Probably was.
All right, we don't have any evidence either way, though. Well, I'm sure, because I would assume...
Well, you'd have to do the math on the years. I don't know.
Yeah.
Some archaeologists could tell you, I'm
yeah.
sure, and some, you know, paleoanthropologists. But yeah, how old were them bones? 90,000 years old?
Right. But then, of course, they
All
were
right.
talking about the Neanderthal. They think it might have gone back to 500,000 years.
It did.
Well,
you see, you gave me a trivia question a couple of weeks ago. You said, who was the common ancestor of Homo sapiens, Neanderthals, and also they were the common ancestor of Denisovans.
Mm-hmm.
Homo heidelbergensis lived around 500,000 years ago,
mm.
all right? And they were the common ancestor of all three of them, Neanderthals, Homo sapiens, and then they discovered Denisovans, all right? And they were the ancestor of Denisovans, too. And the Neanderthal and the Denisovan were more genetically comparable than they were with Homo sapiens, all right?
All right.
Homo sapiens... You know, Cro-Magnon, they come from Africa.
How big right? was the cave?
How big is the cave?
Yeah.
I don't know how big the cave was.
Well, how many?
You?
Well, no, what I want to know is how many Denises do they have there? I mean, at their peak,
well,
how many were there?
They found evidence of it being occupied over the millennia by Neanderthals and Denisovans. You know, for many, many, many thousands of years,
now,
but, you know, off and on.
What's interesting about this is that the DNA test today, like you bring up, you can see if you got some Denisovan or Neanderthal in it. So we still have distinct DNA, and that kind of says they weren't canoodling all the time, or they would have ended up with the same DNA. So they basically remained separate. So apparently it was a fairly rare event that the Denny here came to be.
Yeah, but what was also strange about it is the Neanderthal guy who was shagging everything. Neanderthals. They were shagging everything.
Right.
And this Denisovan girl probably looked pretty good to him. So,
well, better than the sheep, yeah. All right. Well, excellent.
Wait a minute.
Excellent information.
I want to say something else.
What?
Well, I like the way Marianne rationalizes being short. What did she say?
I don't know. Worked for her.
Some people get better, get to perfection sooner than others.
Right, yes.
She's only 5 foot tall.
Yes.
All right. So anyhow, here's that line from Caesar's song. You want to hear it?
Oh, sure.
Well, he's never been with a girl doggy before, but he makes love to his blanket by his bed on the floor.
Yes, yes, fun with animals. All right, well, keep writing it, and right. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
All right, so 888-876-5593. We'll get to Fran and her request, and Donna Beloit wants to talk Richie Valens, all right, who is neither a Denisovan or a Neanderthal, but he was a resident of Pacoima. So we'll pick it up there on WGN Radio. And I want to talk to you again about the CC Radio 2E. We were talking about DXing and solar flares and things like that. Well, hey, first step is to have a great radio with great reception. And that's what Bob Crane specializes in. All of his radios have reception like they had back in the day. Yeah, and if you're old enough to remember, man, you could pick up everything. And then over time, they made radios that maybe looked better. Or in some cases, they thought they had more fidelity. But the tuning just went away. It was, you know, you couldn't pick up hardly anything, especially on AM. And Bob Crane said, I can do better. And boy, did he. He has a full line of radios, and all of them have really neat features different from one another. But the one commonality is they all have terrific reception. I've got the CC Radio 2E by my bedside, and the easiest way to tell how good the reception is take the 2E, put it next to your average radio, and tune to a weak station, preferably a weak AM station. Then put the C Crane 2E right next to it, tune to the same station, and that's all you'll need to know. It is one of the best AM and FM radios made today, and not only is it selective and will you pick up more with it, but the clarity is terrific as well. It's high-quality audio, and it can be adjusted to, well, me standing right next to you. However you want it to sound, it can do it. It's got a digital readout and a clock, and it's got a lighted dial, and it's got features like the weather band and weather alerts. So it is just terrific, but it's designed to make long-range AM and FM stations come in cleaner and make weak signals stronger. It's got the power and strength to bring the world to you. To order the CC Radio 2E, you can do it by phone, 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE, but I suggest you go to ccradio.com right now, ccradio.com. You'll read about great products as well as get great information, and you can find out everything you want to know about the CC Radio 2E and see it. You can also sign up for the C Crane newsletter. You'll be the first to know about exclusive offers from the C Crane company. The CC Radio 2E is absolutely worth your attention. You check it out, you tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio.
Across the table over coffee just this morning, my woman caught me by surprise without a warning. She said, honey, you talked in your sleep. And then she began to weep as she said, tell me now, tell me truly, who's Julie? With a blank look on my face, I searched my mind for an answer or excuse of some kind. But the words wouldn't come and my mind was blank. Slowly my head just sank when she said, honey, you know I love you truly, but who's Julie?
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Yes, that's Mel Tillis, you betcha. And Who's Julie? Wayne Carson wrote that. Came out in 1968 on Cap, and I thought it was just a magnificent record. And apparently Joe Simon did as well, because he covered it, and not nearly as good. But yeah, in 1968, all the rage. And Mel Tillis would have turned 91 years old today, so yeah. There you have it, and just a terrific record. Who's Julie? All right, so 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, Fran is in Austin. What's happening tonight, Fran?
Oh, not a whole lot. I went to the doctor today and found out that my kidney stone is about a third of an inch.
Okay.
Which is not too horrible.
No. Where is it? Where is it?
They were looking at some mold, some other x-rays. So anyway, I had some more imaging done today.
Good.
because they want to see exactly where it is, because if it's in the right place, I can have it blasted.
Excellent. So ultrasound will do it. And
yeah, only if he can see it on this one kind of x-ray that they did. He said, if I see it on this one, we can do it that way. He said, if I can't, then we may have to put in a stent, and I am hoping they don't have to do that.
Are you in pain?
Yes, I have had a lot of lower abdominal pain, mm-hmm. and we've been trying to figure out what's been causing it. Although one of the things that he said that concerns me is that he said, well, I don't think that this, you know, if you've been having this pain, and I kind of described it to him where, you know, sometimes I can't even, you know, get up off the throne without help.
Right.
And he said, well, this should not cause you that much pain.
Oh.
So he said, you know, we still have to figure out.
Yeah, well, without stone say it won't cause you that much pain.
So, yeah, he didn't think the stone was causing that much pain.
Yeah, well, that's right.
You never know. I could be wrong about that.
Right. It's not his stone. Now, I assume that.
Yeah. What is that much pain? That's
right. Exactly. So that's why I say.
Any pain is too much pain.
Well, right. Right. Yeah, and that's why I was saying.
You know, we all have our aches and pains. I mean, I've got my arthritis and my, you know, various, you know.
So
that's another thing. I can't take this pain pill that I was taking. I can't remember the name of it now, but it was barely working anyway. But at least it was better than nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And so now they took me off that because it's bad for my kidneys. And I'm in third stage kidney disease or something, and anyway, they don't want to give me those pills anymore, so I just have to deal with the pain. Thanks a lot, Doc.
Now, they're pretty sure that this stone is uric acid, right?
They didn't say.
No, that's important.
I did not think to ask that. They didn't say. Okay. I'll find out more tomorrow. I can ask him that.
Yeah, do. I'm betting if he's even talking about blasting it out, it probably is.
But he's pretty sure, you know, if he can see it on this one test, then he can blast it out.
Good.
If he can't see it on this test, then he has to put a stent. And the problem with putting a stent is that sometimes the little pieces of stones get stuck.
Yes, they do.
And I have had I've had those stents put in before, and it is not something I want to do again.
Well, you know, maybe wait until it becomes enough of a problem that you say, hey, I'll do anything.
Yeah, that's true. But I'm hoping they can blast it.
I keep thinking, trying to think positive.
Okay, they're going to just be able to blast it.
I think the news is about to happen. So hold on, don't go away.
Okay.
All right, we'll leave Fran and her stone there. We'll pick it up with Fran and with Don and with you next hour here on WGN Radio.
This is something new, the Casper Slide Part 2, featuring the Platinum Band. And this time, we're going to get funky. Everybody clap your hands. Slide to the right, crisscross, crisscross, cha-cha real smooth. Let's go to work.
WGN Radio, I'm Molly James. Well, line dancing alive and well, but sadly the same can't be said about DJ Casper. In fact, Bob, who is at Master Control at WGN, just told me that William Perry died. And he'd had cancer for quite some time, but born and raised in Chicago, and of course, all Chicagoans know him, but virtually anybody who's been in any sporting event, because I think the cha-cha slide is pretty much ubiquitous when it comes to that. And it was originally created for his nephew, who was a personal trainer at Bally Total Fitness. And the heck with aerobic exercise, this became just huge. And Casper Slide Part 2, WGCI had a lot to do with breaking that, but others as well. So anyway, it was about 2016 he was diagnosed with both kidney and liver cancer. And they opened him up, and unfortunately, there was nothing they could do. And so that's always tough. And he was in remission a couple years later, and he had announced that he'd beaten the liver cancer. And, said, hey, it's just God's way of slowing me down a little bit. Well, now it's God's way of taking him to a better place, because sadly, he died yesterday, only 58 years old. So rest in peace, DJ Casper. All right, so back to Fran. Sorry about that, Fran. I was leaving you and your kidney stone there on hold. And after all this,
oh, that's okay.
you had a request.
I have a couple, actually. Smoky Places.
Oh, the Corsairs, of course.
Yeah, I love that song. And something you played just a minute ago reminded me of it. Oh, what was it? I don't know. Something reminded me of it. It was a cheating song.
Oh, who's Julie? Mel, tell us who's Julie. Yeah.
No, it was the one before. It was something.
Oh, Can You Talk?
Call Me When You're Not Home.
No, can You Talk? Ron Holden.
Yeah, that was it. Can You Talk? Yeah. That kind of reminded me of Smoky Places, and I haven't heard that song in a long time.
All right.
And I also wanted to hear Look in My Eyes. I know you play that a lot, but that's the only song I really know by them.
Really? Oh, there's so many. There are so many.
I know. I didn't know. It's like I heard the songs, but I didn't know. It's like, this sounds kind of similar to Look in My Eyes.
Yeah.
But till Scotty came around did I really get into the Chantels. I love them. In fact, you don't have to place anything. In fact, I'd rather hear something I haven't heard.
All right, yeah, because Richie Barrett produced all that stuff, and there are so many. So let me see.
It's funny because so many times I want to call, and I'm thinking, what do I have to say? You know, I'm hearing you sitting there. Please call. Please call.
Right. Save me. Yeah.
Yeah. Save me. And I think, okay, I'll call. What am I going to talk about? And I want to tell poor John. You know, he says, "What do you want to talk about?" Stuff.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Right. Exactly. I have no idea. Well, by the way, do you know "Eternally" by the Chantels?
I don't think so, but I'd like to hear it.
Oh yeah, that is probably my favorite.
So okay.
I will play Eternally.
All right.
You got it.
But I think that's a lot of people, I think, do that. They're sitting there going, I want to call, but what am I going to talk about that's interesting?
And that's my job. I'm supposed to get you on a topic that will spur the call, and half the time I just lazily sit here and read the damn tabloid.
The only time I think, oh, my God. The first time I ever called you, you were threatening to play Barry Manilow.
Well, that usually did bring out a couple callers.
And so that was I had been listening to you for a while, and that was when Gary was living in Galveston, and I'd go to visit him, and we'd listen to you. And I called one night to play trivia, but, you know, Gary said, oh, you should call. You'd be a good caller. You should call.
Yeah,
blah, blah,
absolutely.
Blah. No, I don't have anything to say. So, you know.
It's never stopped me.
But to people who, you know, kind of feel the same way I do, or is like, oh, I want to call, but I don't have anything interesting to say. Hey, I said that, and I've been calling for I don't know how many years now. So,
and thank God for that. Yes, but no, it's it's my failing. I'm supposed to give you a reason, and I guess I have to work harder at that.
Well, some of the things, like, I wanted to talk about AI and stuff like that, but some of my opinions on that are just, I'm really, it's scary to me.
Well, it's scaring all the labor unions in California, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. The only thing that it might be really good for is, I think one of the things that, and people are fighting it, and I understand why, but descriptive audio.
Oh.
Because one of the things that I complain about with descriptive audio is, some of it is on the newer shows. but I want descriptive audio on those shows I've been watching for years and don't know what's going on, and I was happy with that. Now I'm not happy with that because I'm used to having descriptive audio.
Right.
So if with AI you could go back and, you know, do all those older shows.
Yeah.
But then a lot of voice people are going to be out of work and, you know.
Well,
sort of
it's,
thing, so.
You know, I realize new technology is always something. Anything new scares the heck out of the status quo, and I get that. But in this case, it does potentially have some dire economic consequences, and they need to get this right.
Oh, yeah.
Because this is.
Yeah, and it scares you. It's like, I saw a thing online the other day about how you can copy your voice.
Yeah.
And do all kinds of, like, oh, my God. You know, you can't even trust that if somebody is saying something that they are actually saying it.
Yes, that's absolutely true. And you already have some scammers who are using that.
Oh, yeah. And that's, yeah, that's a gold mine.
Well, sure. All they have to do
all
is.
All they have to do is get.
Yeah. Get granddaughter,
you know, they don't
even
have to
right?
Say your child's
right.
In trouble. They
exactly.
Can get your child's voice.
That's right. That's right. And it's so easy because most of these young kids, they have accounts where there is audio, and it easily can be snatched and used. And that's going on right now. And we're at the beginning
yeah.
of this.
And they can have it say, you know, Mom, I need trouble. You know, I'm in
yeah.
hell. You know, I need trouble. I'm in hell. I need help. I'm in trouble. Blah blah
right.
blah.
Exactly.
And their kid's voice.
That's right.
And they're scamming people as it is now without even using the actual voice
right.
of the actual person.
Right. No, absolutely. It is horrendous. And unfortunately, most people who aren't using this technology read people, you know, over 55, so to speak. Many of them are just prime targets for this because they can't even imagine the possibility, let alone that it's happening. So it's really easy. And my advice to anybody is if you ever get a call talking about a family member or talking about a financial issue or anything like that, you let them know you'll call them back. Get a phone number, call them back, then verify it. And don't call the number back they've given you until you've independently verified it.
Oh, yeah. Not only that, Gary and I have decided that we have a question. And if somebody tries to tell me, like if I'm away from home or Gary's away from home and somebody tries to tell me that they're him and they're in trouble and so forth, I have a question that I can ask that they can't
right.
answer.
Right. Right. And that's good, too. But even if you have nothing and you're caught unaware, do not hold the conversation. You know, get a phone number, confirm it on your own, not through anything they give you.
Right. Exactly. But it's some scary stuff. I mean,
yeah,
you know.
It is. And it's happening so often because it works.
Right. Yeah.
Yep.
Unfortunately.
No, you're right. And that's a warning to everybody because it is it's all over the place, and the likelihood that you will encounter it is higher by the day.
Right. So anyway, on that high, wonderful note.
Yes. All right. Well, good deal. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay, thanks, Raleigh.
All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh, John is a first-time caller, and he's in Chicago. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. We just happened to have the radio on, and somebody said, listen to this. And it was about the age of the skulls.
Oh, about Denny, the ancient skull who has a Neanderthal parent and a denizen or whatever parent? Yes.
Yes. That is such a bogus thing.
Okay.
And people have been going along for this and have been trapped into thinking these things.
Why do you think it's bogus?
Well, here, Raleigh, figure it out. If some of these things are coming up to like it's 500,000 years old, and some say, well, it's 300,000 years old, and then some say, well, it's 100,000. Let's go down to 50,000 years old. Let's make it as young as we can. If you take some two individuals 50,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they started to multiply.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they they mated, and then their offspring mated, and then you have geometric progression.
That, by the way, that's assuming that their offspring mated.
Well, if they didn't mate, they'd be dead.
Well, that's right. So some of these skulls could, in fact, be one-offs. We don't know what happened.
Well, then, how did it start up again?
Well, what start up?
These people that came down to bring in people to today.
Well, I see. What you're saying is you don't believe in any of the anthropology. You don't think that the Olduvai Gorge and Pro-Magnon Man and all that, you think all that's bogus.
Well, I'm just asking you, figure this out. Because I traveled extensively throughout the world. And when I was in Kenya, they had a whole replica of Lucy.
Right.
And they said, and this is absolutely positively show the connection between primate and humans. And then when I went to Tanzania, they had the same thing there. And I said, well, I saw that over in Kenya. And they said, oh, that's not real. We got the real one. And then they've come up with the whole fact that it's not a human being because of the jaw, the way the jaw is placed and the like. But here's what I'm trying to tell you. If you start out from 50,000 years ago and you had, quote, ancestors of human beings, and they started to mate, and then they made it, and then you'd have geometric progressions. Do you know how many people would be on Earth today?
Yeah, but what you're assuming is that we didn't have cataclysmic events that wiped out things.
Well, mathematicians have taken this into consideration. They've taken tsunamis, wars, famine, floods, everything.
How about a polar shift?
How about what?
A polar shift. Yeah, magnetic pole reversal. How about that?
What about it?
Well, that would wipe out everything that's here, pretty much.
No, it wouldn't.
Sure it would.
Now, the only thing that wiped out people was the flood. But in either case, when mathematicians... I don't know that you know this. This is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah,
mathematicians have already tried...
Yeah.
Mathematicians have already gone through all this.
Uh-huh. So what are you trying to tell me? That man's been here for 6,000 years and everything else is wrong?
Well, if they were here for 50,000 years...
I'm just asking you, cut to the chase. What's your hypothesis? If you don't believe that, what do you believe?
Well, if I'm saying to you, if people were on Earth even 50,000 years, there would be trillions and trillions of people on Earth.
Well, let's say that I'm not willing to debate that because it would be a very boring talk radio. Let me cut to the chase. You're calling, so obviously you have an alternative theory. And what I'm asking is, what is it?
Well, the mathematicians that have done these studies on a professional level, said if we started out 6,000 years ago, and then we had a tremendous, sudden cataclysmic event, which would explain the fossil record, and only 8 people survived. You have the mother and father, Noah, and the 3 boys and their wives. And then you started to they started all over again.
All right.
Do you know how many people would be on Earth today?
Why don't you tell me?
About 6 to 7 million billion people.
Uh-huh. All right. So
do you know how many people are on Earth today?
You're comfortable with your knowledge, and that's fine. You can find all sorts of studies that, I won't say studies, but all sorts of theories that back that up. And you can have various preachers who spew it. Yeah,
Raleigh,
sure.
This is so bogus.
Okay, well, and you...
It is
By the way, you are entitled to that. What I don't understand is, what's the emotion?
Well, you're entitled to be wrong.
Of course I am. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
I am entitled to be wrong. I am. What I'm entitled to right now is to pay bills. So, yes, I absolutely may be wrong, because thank God I'm old, but I'm not that old. So you're entitled to your viewpoint. The next guy's entitled to theirs. And I don't think it's an emotional discussion. And anyway, I got to pay bills, but I hope you'll call me again. Thank you. All right. So there you go on WGN Radio.
Was a walking down the street just minding my business when the man walked up and said, Uncle Sam, I need you, my boy, to be the next man out of space. I said, do you mean me? He said, I mean you. I said, you must be out of your mind. He said, we looked and we searched all over this land, but not a better man could we find. I said, I think you made a bad mistake, 'cause I'm chicken all over the place. But they packed me up and shipped me out to a secret rocket base. I says, I wanna go home. He says, sit right down or everything's gonna be alright. Your rocket ship leaves about 7 a.m. and you'll be home in time for dinner tonight. Then came the morning of the great countdown. The president and general were standing all around. They put me in the rocket ship and strapped me to the seat. They gave me 2 cans of Metrogel and a Hershey bar to eat. The next thing I remember, I was floating through space. I was surrounded by gadgets and dials. I don't recollect how long I've been up here, but it seems like quite a little while. I said, oh, hello, Earth.
Hello, buddy.
There's a voice at the end of the line. It seems like our boys have made a little mistake. You can't get home till 1999.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yeah, those are the Tides. That's my favorite of the 3 versions of Chicken Spaceman in 1961. The Tides were on Dory. The Eventuals were on Capella. And the Marathons, well, they were on a number of labels. So, yeah, well, of course, the Marathons were a number of groups. But anyway, there you have it. But, yeah, I thought the Tides nailed it, who actually were the Black Brothers from San Francisco. But anyway, Gerald in Henry, Illinois, I saw on the screen, it said Chicken Spaceman. So, and why are we discussing this?
Because I called before about my show, Midwest Night Watchers, on YouTube, and you told me to call back.
Yes.
Anytime I had something new come up, and I, by accident, discovered popular songs that have a basis of alien abductions in lyrics.
Yeah. And, of course, there wasn't really an abduction in Chicken Spaceman, but what are some of the others that that float your boat?
Well, it's not really the music that your show is based on, but my favorite band of all time growing up in the 80s is Van Halen. And when they teamed up with Sammy Hagar, evidently Sammy Hagar had alien abduction dreams or actual encounter. And one of their favorite songs that they have of mine is When Love Walks In.
Okay.
And later on in the interview, Sammy talked about it actually being about an alien abduction.
All right. Yes, indeed. Now, Flying Saucer Boogie is another fine one, but there are so many of them.
I know. I've been kind of I've been going through the internet and compiling a list of all the songs. So we're going to do an episode coming up here in a while on Midwest Night Watchers about the connection of alien abductions in popular songs.
Well, very good. Oh, I can't wait. There's one by The Circle called The Visit, but I don't think she was an alien. I think she was just a dead girlfriend.
I mean, the list that I got going, I even found one that it's kind of a novelty song, but I mean, Ella Fitzgerald sang one. Even.
Oh yeah, no, they're popular. That's for sure. And then of course you have things like Little Blue Man and all that. So Betty Johnson. So yes, well, very good. So when this is going to be on, you have to call and give us a plug. But what's the next show going to be about?
Well, our next our next show is actually Andy Decodes from the UK. It's going to be this Sunday, and we're going to be talking about aliens and encounters and paranormal. But it'll be we have another show that's on midnight, me and my wife, and we just chat with the audience or the chat room, you know, the comments. And that one we'll do the alien songs on.
And where can folks find you?
At Midwest Night Watchers at YouTube, and we also have it, our name, Midwest Night Watchers, on Facebook, YouTube, all the social media.
Okay, so social media rather than your own website, Midwest Night Watchers?
Excuse me?
I say social media rather than your own website, Midwest Night Watchers?
Yeah, we don't really have a website yet. We just do the social, Facebook, Twitch, YouTube.
Very good. All right. Well, keep us posted.
All right, I will.
All right, thanks for calling.
All right, bye.
All right, so, yeah, it's always good to play Chicken Spaceman. I'll take any excuse I can get. All right, so 888-876-5593, 888-88-RALEIGH. We're going to talk about Richie Valens, I do believe. Hello, Don in Beloit. What's up?
Hey, I think we should all do the Martian hop.
Oh, God, yes. The Randells, yes.
That's right. That's 1963.
Yes, I'm afraid so.
I guess a lot of people covered it, but I just thought, you know, there's certainly another other class of
it was songs. It was a hit. Yes, shows you what you can do with a little tape on the tap skin. Yes, capstan. All right, so Richie Valens, what are we talking about?
Well, I was just hoping. I like jumping around on topics with you. Oh My Head, you know, if you could play Oh My Head or whatever you call it, that's just such a great song. One of these days.
I don't know. Oh My Head. What is?
Yeah, that? Yeah. Oh my God, that's one of his best. I thought.
Okay. All right.
Mr. Richie Valenzuela.
Richard Valenzuela from Pacoima. I have, actually, I've mentioned this before on the air. I have the lawsuit. Sears sued his mother for the price of the guitar. After the plane crash. Yep.
It's a tragic story. You know, the girlfriend, Donna Ludwig, she was just 16, I think. Yeah. And he was 17.
Well, yeah, what was really interesting is that when he was in junior high, at Pacoima Junior High, that's when they had that mid-air collision, and he was scared to death. In fact, the only reason he wasn't on the school grounds where it crashed was he was at his grandfather's funeral. But, you know, he was just scared to death to fly. And after that, of course, we know what happened ultimately. So
it's an amazing coincidence, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, what was interesting is that after he died, Bob Keane of Delphi Records and Keane Records wanted to find the next Richie Valens. And I always said he wanted to find him in the worst way, and that's what he did, because he replaced him with Chan Romero. Now, if you're saying who, yes, that's the point.
Gotcha. So his mom, you know, was pretty young. Connie, she dies, I think, in 1987.
Yeah, his dad, sadly, was dead when he was younger.
He was only 10 or 11, yeah.
So, did
you know that there's another version of Oh My Head that a lot of people felt sorry for, you know, their estate and everything? His mom gets composer credit. Did you know that, Mrs. Valens?
Yes.
Isn't that an interesting story?
Yes. No, it was it was a mess. That's why I saved the lawsuit papers, because I thought, you've got to be kidding me. And it was a third party, by the way, whoever you applied for credit for Sears when you bought something, you know, the third party did it, but they came after her.
Ian Stewart was the co-founder of the Stones with Keith Richards, and he made a great version of that song. Oh my goodness. And Mrs. got, I'm sure, substantial money from it, and then later got a lawsuit with the estate, filed a lawsuit to get more money. because they didn't think the royalties were coming in like they should have, which is possible. That, I think that was about 1977.
Right, that would have been the record label, not the group, obviously. You sue the record label for that.
Yeah. Now, well, you know, there, Riley, I was wanting to say that we love our pre-humans.
We listen to John
from Ohio. Oh my goodness, we do not talk about humans. We're talking about other things that, you know, had all kinds of different mates and.
Well, it's amazing to me what people get emotional about. You can have any belief you want, and if you want to believe that everything started 6,000 years ago, that's fine and dandy with me. If you want to believe it was more like 6 million years ago or 60 million years ago, that's fine and dandy with me. I wasn't there for any of it, and so I just don't understand why it is an emotional topic.
You know, it's like you're thinking too much like a human. You know, we are here to listen to other stories about other non-humans, like Neanderthal versus human. You know, Neanderthals, way bigger, way smarter, probably way better brains, bigger brains.
I have
much
no
tougher,
idea.
You would think.
I defer to Johnny D on all of it.
But, you know, just take, I'm very passionate about Metasequoias. I love Metasequoias. When I heard the Metasequoia story as a young boy, I was like, wow, this is amazing, because they were all over the earth. Take just Paleocene. That's 66 million years ago. Mega asteroid. Mega problems. The earth's huge volcanoes. 75% of every species living dies. And that's just Paleocene. So these stories are, John has gotten me studying many things, as I've said maybe before, you know, like Heidelberg. Heidelberg is mid-Pleistocene. Sorry, I can't even pronounce it right. Anyway, these interesting things, a lot of them didn't make it, as we all know. They just didn't quite make it.
Well, of course not.
Just like. Yeah. Anyway, it's great. Wisconsin Madison, of course, has Steve Miller, the ultimate space cowboy.
And John says I better shut up and pay a couple bills. So I will talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks,
Glenn. Right, thanks. Appreciate it. Bye-bye. So there you have it on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Riley James. We only have a few minutes left this hour. Next hour, we're going to talk to Eduardo about the 30 cars found in Doral, which is Miami. And we'll discuss that. But I want to get an update in the waning 3 moments from Stacy in Algonquin. What's happening tonight, Stacy?
Well, I finally got my hair cut.
All right. How's it look?
Oh, it's great. I feel me again.
Good.
And my helper at home. So then we have a good restaurant called, did you ever hear of Chubby's Gyros?
Yeah.
Yeah, they serve everything. So we really got a good beef sandwich.
Good.
Yeah. And then, I was going to ask you, when do we write the next abundance check?
I have that information for you, actually. And let's see what we've got. The next new moon is Wednesday morning, August 16th, and it's at 4:38 a.m. Central. So what that means is Tuesday night when you go to sleep, August 15th, right before you go to sleep, write the check. Because don't set an alarm and wake up at 4:38 in the morning. That's crazy.
Okay, so the 15th, you go to sleep.
Yes, exactly.
Good.
That's the way to do that.
So I feel, more myself, and then...
Good.
It's been busy because we've been, doing the house. So we really did a lot today. And then, so then Chris left. And then Corinne came, and then I actually did some stuff in the kitchen, too. I was putting stuff away in the cabinets.
Good.
And but my weird chair, my new recliner, it's so weird. I go to sit in the chair, and the minute I put my feet up, it puts me to sleep.
That's perfect. I'll tell you what, there's people who'd pay $1 million for that chair.
Oh.
That's a wonderful thing. Don't question the good things, Stacy. Let me tell you, just take the good things for granted. You know, it's sort of like a thank you, Jesus, or thank you, Moses moment, whatever, and just accept it.
I know.
All right.
And it was a good day. I'm so glad. I feel so glad that I got my hair cut.
You sound great, and you've ended the hour, and I will talk to you soon. I want to make sure you got on, though. Thanks. All right, so
okay. That's
where we'll pick it up about those 30 cars and more coming up on WGN Radio.
What kind of food? What kind of food?
What kind of food do you think I am? You think you can go on seeing him? Darling, after we had made our plans, you said I'd be your number one man.
What kind of food?
Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Of course, those are the Tams. And it was Bob in Lockport who wanted to hear a couple of Tams. Yeah, the original. What kind of fool do you think I am? Joe Pope's recognizable voice, to say the least. And I've Been Hurt, which we'll play next. And of course, both were covered later by Bill Deal and the Rondells. But the original What Kind of Fool, 1963, ABC Paramount. And Joe Pope's younger brother, Charles Pope, would have been 87 yesterday. So. And certainly it's hard to believe, 87. God, I remember when they were young and appearing at frat parties in the South. So I've Been Hurt coming up next. In the meantime, 888-876-5593. All right. So what happens when you build communities in places that just used to be the Everglades? Well, things show up. So Eduardo in Tampa, welcome to WGN Radio.
Yeah, this is weird story. I hope there's more details. They didn't really give any details other than they found these cars. And they're saying that it's from over the years from cold cases or criminal cases. I even heard one from maybe it was a stolen car. So.
Well, you know, it's very interesting. Of course, Doral is a figment of everybody's imagination. It was, you know, just nothing but vacant land and swampland. And the Doral Country Club was out there years ago, and that was part of the Doral Beach Hotel on Miami Beach. And then the country club was out there with a nice golf course and all that. But since then, they built a town. And if you're around, I don't know, Northwest 13th Terrace, you'll see this kind of lake thing. And I say kind of lake thing because I'm pretty sure this thing is man-made, though I don't think it would have taken much to do that because, like I say, this is formerly the swamps. But from like 97th okay. Avenue over to like 89th, you've got little, they look like, I don't know what you'd call them, channels of water where, you know, both sides of the lake you got water. But then it goes into this quasi lake. If you look at the lake itself, I mean, if this isn't man-made, I give up. But anyhow, it's off of the Tamiami Trail 27, at not far from Medley. I mean, we always called the area Medley. We didn't really call it anything.
Medley, okay.
But now it's Doral because it got incorporated, and it's got like a courtyard and all these things. You know, I mean, I laugh when I see this because, you know, it's sort of like, you got to be kidding me. But there it is. And of course, what they have found is they found about, 20 or 30 abandoned cars in this. And the question is, what is the deal? It's off the Palmetto Expressway. That's the easiest way to say it. And on the other side is an area that they built, probably about 1975, called Fontainebleau. And then to the north is this thing they're calling Doral. But if you look at this map, and you should if you want to see it, this was absolutely man-made. It has these like six or seven little canals and then this body of water where they found these cars. And beyond that, there have been a lot of theories. I know originally they were looking for leads on cold cases. And, they found one. And then that was, I think the first one was like a 2002 Acura. So we're not talking about anything that was ancient. You know, these are the 32 cars that are fairly recent. And, they're dredging them all up. And they'll take a look at them. But like I say, I think the first one was an Acura from or an Altima, one of those things from about 2002. And so that's the deal. And it's possible some of them are stolen cars. It's possible some are parts of missing people cases. But that's the deal. You can see it for yourself. And it's a populated area. This is not the middle of nowhere. I mean, like, there's a Red Lobster across the street, so it's popular. Yeah, it's like that. But it was one of those areas that didn't used to exist. The Palmetto Expressway went through, grassland, and that was it. And now it's a town. It actually incorporated as Doral.
Okay.
So even has a police force.
So they probably went underwater at night. I thought they were doing this during the day, party at night.
Well, if you look at the rescue team, it's broad daylight.
Oh, so, yeah, but I mean when they first...
You mean when the cars wound up there? Well, they're going to need to pull them all out. Now, like I say, they're talking about around 30 cars. All right, and so, we'll say 30 cars over the last 30 years. I mean, that's a reasonable time frame. I don't know when they built this lake, but they did build it. And when you look at it, you'll see why. And I'll try to find that out. And I never really cared much about this place. But in any event, I think they need to get them all out there to try and see what's commonality. Because right now, you can go ahead and come up with virtually any explanation, and nobody knows. They don't know, the older cars, they're saying they were likely dumped before warehouses sprung up in the area. Well, the lake was there. All right, and you'll see. I just don't think this lake was... and then the other thing I should say, and I don't know this, but like I mentioned, is this area was swampland of the worst type. I would assume it's possible that some of it predates, but I think it would have been found. So, the question is, I'm going to see if I can find out when they carved out that lake, because I don't think it could be older than that.
Okay.
And so, that's the deal. And so I find it fascinating, but they don't know. Obviously, they must have gotten a tip because... They were called to the lake. I don't think they expected to find 30. I think there's a Walmart near there, actually. But anyway, but it's right off the Palmetto Expressway, not far from the Tamiami Trail.
So they put, what do they have, like special radar? That's how they...
No, they dug. They had divers.
Oh, okay.
They had divers, obviously, they did some underwater video footage, and then they had divers who were, there with your basic masks and fins, however it is you dive. And so the question is, I think they need to get all the vehicles pulled up, and I believe they're working on that. And I think that You know, this isn't the only place in Florida where submerged vehicles wind up in underwater. But when you look at, you know, over 30 of them in one place, you start to say, huh. And that's probably what they'll be saying as they see whether there are links to one another. But there are, if they're not, I mean, then it was just the perfect place to dump. And you can imagine a lot of reasons a person wants to make a car disappear.
Yeah.
You know,
so, well, I mean, like you said, Palmetto, I mean, expressway, so
yeah.
That's a good getaway to dumping something.
Right. It's not in the middle of nowhere. Like I say, Medley would be to the north, then comes Doral, and Sweetwater is also by that. And then Fountain Blue, as I say, they created that thing around 1975. And, you know, this is all land that's, you know, considerably south of, well, I wouldn't say considerably because it's not considerably, but, you know, the airport and things like that. So yeah.
Okay.
That's the deal. So it is not the middle of nowhere by any means. So
yeah, there'll be more information once they bring up those cars up.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, as you look at you look at a map and see it, and you'll see the airport, which is, you know, in Miami, it's a pretty in-town airport. It's not far out. And then as you start going west from there, that's when you're gonna start to see what is now Doral. And like I say, it was originally a country club tied to the hotel. But now, and like I say, Fountain Blue to the south of it. And then south of that is Westchester. And then Tamiami's in there. And they built Florida International University down there because, of course, it was dirt cheap land. So that's where FIU, that was built in the early 70s, is. And, and it's not far from where you'd say the Everglades. If you look at a map, you'll see that you're pretty darn close to Everglades land. Certainly, I would argue that part of Sweetwater would be in there.
Okay.
So, yeah, take a look at it for yourself and take a look, and you'll see just what I mean.
Yeah, I'll hit up a map, yeah.
Yeah, but when you see this lake, I want you to look at this lake and you tell me, that's got to be man-made. I mean, nature doesn't do this. So just look. I'm trying to think if I can get you good cross streets for this. I think, maybe 12th Street, but 13th Terrace, yeah. If you go like 12th Street and 87th Avenue to 12th Street and 97th Avenue, in that 10 blocks from 12th Street and then to the north 25th Street, you'll see this thing, and you tell me what you think.
All right.
We will reconvene.
Thank you for your input on this story,
No, I'm very curious. I want to know when they finally get everything dredged, what this is.
All right. That'll be something to look forward to hearing. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Thanks. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, I'd say the boundaries of Doral is probably less than 5 miles from Miami International Airport, because, you know, that's right off of Lejeune. That's not very far. And I don't know, 10 to 15 miles from downtown at most. So, but this lake, you can look at. Yeah. Those canals didn't just happen on their own. All righty, so 888-876-5593. Jim is in Drexel Hill. Jim, what's happening tonight?
Okay, I have for Fran, a supplement that will not only dissolve her kidney stone, but it'll keep her from getting more kidney stones.
What is that?
It's called Cranberry Benefit.
Okay, what's in it?
It's like a high major. Cranberry is the most nutritious.
Oh, no, I understand what that is, but my question is, what else is in it?
I don't know, but I know it works, because my neighbor, he had kidney stones, and I bought him a bottle of it and got rid of it for him.
Okay.
And you get it from Andrew Lessman at hsn.com.
All right. Well, that's not necessarily a bad thing to do, but I strongly think that read the label first, because people think...
I agree. I don't know what's in it. It's high fructose, high concentrated cranberry.
Okay, I'm looking at Here, they have efficiency plus cranberry benefits with pomegranate here on HSN. I'm looking at their website. I'm trying to see if I can get an ingredient list, but I don't
know. Andrew Lessman, is he got a mix?
Yeah, right. Well, ProCaps Lab. Yeah, I know who he is.
ProCaps Lab.
Yeah, I know. All right.
But I gave a bottle to my neighbor, and it cured him.
All right. Well, always good, but I always say supplements, just because they're natural doesn't mean they're safe for you. Find out exactly what's in it, and certainly tread lightly. And then if it works for you, great. But
that's true.
Yeah.
But
all right, cranberry benefit it is. Thank you for that.
She could go to HSN and buy a month's supply and see if she likes it. And then when he's on, he has everything's on sale and it's free shipping. So
well, there you are. All right, thanks.
But, yeah, I think that might help her. Okay,
good. Appreciate it.
All right, bye.
So, yeah, depending on what's in it, I mean, it may not hurt. So, 888-876-5593. We'll get to Leah in Marcus Hook. We got James on the south side, and there's plenty of room for you right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yes, more Tams. Yes, Charles Pope, who would have been the birthday boy. And, of course, Joe Pope, that recognizable voice anywhere. And it was Bob from Lockport who wanted to hear both of those. So he said, I was told both the versions done by Bill Deal are considered beach music and the Tams versions are not. No. The Tams, absolutely quintessential beach music, and happy to play it. So, Leah and Marcus Hook, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. How are you?
Can't complain. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm good. I just want to say about the man who called about we were only here for 6,000 years.
Oh, right.
I just wanted to question where he thinks the dinosaur bones came from.
Oh, I think they were simultaneous with man. I'm not sure, but there are a number of people who believe this. And again, I'm not trying to dissuade anybody from their beliefs. That's perfectly fine. But
is it like God sprinkled dinosaur bones out just to fool people, or what?
Well, I guess they live simultaneously. I don't know, but what I find disturbing is just the emotion behind the discussion, because the number one cause of war through the millennia is religion and
religion, right?
Right. And as far as I'm concerned, anyone is entitled to any belief they want.
It just makes me laugh, though.
Well, that's perfectly fine. I just felt that he was coming a little unglued because everybody didn't join in his reindeer game.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I mean, there's a number of...
I studied archaeology,
And there's many different churches that actually... I'm trying to think of what that one preacher's name, Dutch, what was his last name? I'm trying to think. But he has videos out on how man could only be 6,000 years old and live with the dinosaurs and all that. But so... you are hearing this in some fundamentalist churches. And again, people who choose to believe that theory... God love them. Go for it. It's fine with me. You know?
Yeah. But don't try and force your beliefs on others.
Well, exactly. And I wouldn't try and force any belief I had either. That's the beauty of belief. It is a belief. It's not something that, you know, and when people start to say, well, I can prove this scientifically. No, actually you can't. So not to anybody else's satisfaction, we'll say.
Right. So, only to their own satisfaction.
Yes. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. And this is where we'll pick it up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, that's the Stylistics version of If I Love You. Little Anthony did the other one, and I played that because I think it was Marianne. I think it was our first caller tonight, said she wanted to hear something about the Stylistics. So I thought, yeah, If I Love You. 1971 on Avco Embassy, and one of the Stylistics turned 74 years old today. Arian. Yeah, Arian Love, actually. And If I Love You, I thought was a great record, and it was the flip side to Stop, Look, Listen to Your Heart, Hear What I'm Saying. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, we're talking to Leah. The guy who first came up with the 6,000 years old and looking at that as doing it through biblical dating actually was in the 1600s. It was a guy named Bisher Usher, and I you know, he's somewhere in the UK. But more recently, a guy named Dutch Sheets, who's a current evangelist, goes around and believes this. And again, perfectly fine. You want to buy that? Sounds good to me.
Yeah. To each his own.
Exactly.
But the other thing I wanted to talk to you about is I got this phone call the other day, and it was supposedly somebody I owe money to who I never heard of.
Right.
And he said, I had a hard time understanding. He had a very thick accent.
Yeah.
But finally discovered that he was from some place called Sweepstakes Advantage. and he said that I joined some club. And I said, no, I didn't. He said, well, you entered our contest. I said, yeah, I probably entered your contest not knowing that it was a club to join.
Right.
And he said, well, you owe us money. And I said, no, I don't, because I was unaware that it was a club. I don't owe you anything. He said, well, if you don't give us your credit card number, we're going to charge you $100 a month. And I said, well, if you don't have my credit card information, how can you charge me $100 a month?
And what did he say?
He said, well, all we can see is your last four numbers.
Yeah, fine.
And we need the whole credit card.
Yeah.
We need the whole credit card to be able to charge you.
Uh-huh.
And I said, well, I'm not giving you that. He said, well, then we're going to charge you $100 a month. They have no way of charging me $100 a month if they can only see my last four digits, right?
Yes, this is a scam. And I doubt it is Sweepstakes Advantage, which does exist. You can go to their website. It's an internet marketing service. It's Florida-based. And the likelihood that they are actually calling you is about as close to nil as you can get. It's a directory of free sweepstakes and contests. And I would say you're probably 100% safe, but no, you never, ever, ever provide that information. And I wouldn't even have the conversation. I would hang up the phone.
Well, see, I couldn't understand what he was saying.
Well, that doesn't matter. Right. That should be a clue right there. You're not dealing with people in foreign, you know, who speak broken English that way. You know, it's interesting because you'll get some legitimate things, too. And I have a banking relationship I'm going to end because I had opened a CD. And, of course, I understand the Know Your Customer rules, and I know exactly what they need from me in terms of pieces of information to satisfy the federal government, and that's perfectly fine. Well, since then, I have heard from them no fewer than half a dozen times, and they're always telling me it's not a sales call. Well, they're technically right at that point, but they're saying we need your income. Now, by the way, I'm not applying for a loan with them, and I'm not applying for any kind of credit. No, you don't need my income. And one of them said, "Well, we're going to have to turn you over to the government for suspicious practices." Or I said, "What, for opening a CD with money that came from another bank? Go for it." Well, we have to have your annual income. Well, the reason they have to have my annual income is that if they're going to market securities to me, they have to know that. But you see, I don't want them to market securities to me, and I won't tell them. And so they're just hell-bent to get it. So as soon as the CD vests, that'll be it. I'll be gone. But they can ask all they want. Doesn't mean I have to tell.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and again,
yeah,
if
so
I
didn't give them any information.
No,
I said,
of course not.
You know, no, I'm not giving you that information. I don't know who you are. I don't know where you're calling from. You could say you're from anywhere.
Right. Right. I assume it's somebody who took the name of a legit site and turned it into, just like the people who claim they're from the IRS.
But he did have the right last four numbers.
Well, so what? He got that. You see, that it probably stole that. Firstly, it's on every damn receipt you've got.
Yeah.
You could have thrown a receipt in the garbage. It's got the last four digits and the expiration date right on it.
No, I put everything in the
recycling. No, I understand that, but I'm just saying that you could have. And you see, you don't know at the other end what somebody else is doing. See, it's not that you're being careless with your information, though I don't care who has the last four digits of my credit card numbers. But here's the deal. The merchants that you're dealing with, usually their databases are very compromisable. And you hear about the data breaches all the time. And so it's
That's
possible,
true.
You know, you were in a big box store and ran your credit card and that database has been hacked. They're supposed to tell you, but they don't, not all the time. And we've seen cases of people who've gotten in some pretty big trouble for not telling the consumer for 6 months, oh, we were hacked. Yes, you were.
I know Target gets hacked all the time.
Well, and so then that's something to consider when you're thinking about applying for their particular credit card or thinking that you want to belong to part of their affinity club and, you know, get a point for every dollar you spend or whatever. So sure, let me count the ways where they'd get the last four digits of your Social Security number. That means nothing.
Okay.
No. If you ever get a call and you think that there's validity to it, for whatever reason, you hang up and you contact the entity yourself, no matter who they are. And, you know, if it's from the sheriff's department because you didn't answer your jury summons, or by the way, they're not going to call. If it's from the IRS, they'll never call. You'll die waiting. But nonetheless, you'll hear from people.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, right. But people will call and say that. And the safest thing to do is never offer any information to anyone, no matter how many points of information they have about you.
I know, and they really try and scare you, too.
Of course they do. You know, and what's your mother's maiden name? That would be Noni, N-O-N-E, and they write it down. You know, okay, gotta go now. So, yeah.
They really say, you know, we're going to report you to the government.
Yes, absolutely. Well, they're going to send a chariot to my house and Cinderella's going to pop out and then they're going to arrest me. No, whatever. I don't care. If I have any reason to suspect that it's a legit call for some reason, I'm going to terminate the call and contact the agency or the entity on my own.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's not good. It's not good enough to just call the entity and say, "Do you have a, you know, Zelma Shears working there?" Because they may. The people who are trying to pull the wool over your eyes may have an employee list from somewhere, so they might say yes. So you don't say, "Oh my God, it's legit." You say, "May I please speak to Zelma?" And then when you get old Zelma on the phone, you say, "Zelma, did you call me?" You know, I mean, you got to go to that extent of it if you really have a reason to doubt it. If you don't have a reason to doubt it, if you just say, "This sounds like nonsense," just hang up and ignore it.
Yeah, that's what I did, but I just wanted to check and see if you ever heard of the company.
Sweepstakes Advantage, of course I've heard of them, but I don't believe the people who called you were from Sweepstakes Advantage. That's what I'm telling you. Sweepstakes Advantage is an internet marketing company. I can't imagine that they would be dealing with you. Period. What it is, what would we call this? An aggregator. It's a database of sweepstakes and contests online, and so theoretically, sweepstakes enthusiasts created this website, and they don't endorse or guarantee any of the links. As far as I know, they don't ask you for anything. You know, they're getting it the same way someone who's part of Amazon Associates would get it when they have a link that, you know, identifies them and says, "Hey, that's the deal." And you can take a look and see, oh yeah, there's 177 new sweepstakes this week. And you can do that. Or if you want to get digital coupons, you know, I don't believe in those, by the way, but, you know, for people who want to, you can do that. And
I don't know how they work.
Oh, well, the problem with digital coupons is they require the involvement of your smartphone. And therefore,
I know you're supposed to scan them or something.
Well, right. Yes. Well, you sign up for the app and then you scan it. But don't do this. Do yourself a favor. Whatever it is, just pay the money. What we have this week, well, Molson Coors has a Molson sweepstakes, your chance to grab some extra cash. You can get up to $45,000. Oh, yeah, speaking of that, I think, has it happened already, the Mega Millions drawing? I have to look that up because...
I don't know. We have tickets, too.
Yeah, well, everybody, $1.58 billion the last time I saw earlier today. So was the drawing...
We'd be happy with a quarter of that.
Yeah, right. Okay, August 8th, we have Mega Millions, August 8th. 13, 19, 20, 32, 33, 14.
Wait a minute. Can you do that again?
13, 19, 20, 13, 32, 19, 20. Yeah, 32, 32, 33, 14. Now, 14. Let's go to the Mega Millions site right now. Yeah. So the 14 is obviously the one that matters.
The Mega.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do we have? Jackpot winner in Florida. Match five winners in California, Pennsylvania, Texas, and West Virginia.
First one in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, for match five, and I think that's a good $1 million. So somebody got the $1.58 billion. And then match five plus the mega plier, Florida and North Carolina. So, someone in Florida got the $1.5. It's not, it's not John. Oh, man. Well, it's bound to happen. All right, or not happen. So that's it. It's down to a meager 20 million next time, and that will be Friday.
A meager 20 million? Are you kidding?
Right. That's the next jackpot. Yeah, I know. That's the next jackpot, and the next drawing, of course, is Friday.
I'll take a million, hell.
And if you want the
cash. What would it be after taxes if you got a million?
Well, it depends where you are and what your tax base is, but. That's your sales tax. I'm talking about income tax. You got state tax in Pennsylvania as well, but you'd get more than half of it.
Oh, okay. That wouldn't be bad.
But for the 20 million, if you want the cash option, which when you're in our age group, of course you want the cash option, that would be 9.9 million cash. And then, of course, there'd be some tax. So, you know, that's not chump change. That's pretty good. But I can view all the winners. So, yes, a jackpot winner in Florida, one of them. So seven got $1 million for match five and match five plus the mega flyer, there were two. And then what else do we have? Well, who cares? After that, you're at $500. So what? I'd say that we're losers again. You know, I've always said that I don't like to buy the tickets, because if this were a contest on how to get six numbers that are never called ever, I would win. But
yeah, me too. Yeah. Me too.
But if this in
I
any
would
way,
rather do scratch-offs, because right. there is this no. show on TV, on HGTV, called Lottery Dream Home, and every single person who is on there says they won from scratch-off.
Well, very good. Yeah, I'm not going to win from anything, is the truth. By the way, the $1.58 billion, the cash option, was a meager $783.3 million.
So, oh, meager, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. So assuming you kept about half of that, I would, of course, he's in Florida, he doesn't have state tax, so it's just federal. I would wow. assume that this person's walking away with close to $500 million in the cash option. I assume he
yeah,
will be
that's,
one to
that's
keep
pretty
his
nice.
Yeah, I assume he will be one to keep his name private, because many states will let you do that, and Florida is one of them.
PA is not.
Yeah. So, not at all. I thought
I don't think so. Delaware is, PA's not.
I thought PA would if it was over a certain amount.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe they do, but I don't know.
Well, I'll try to find it.
Because I know they always say somebody's name on the
well,
news.
Yeah, right, of course. But, oh, you're right. Pennsylvania lottery winners cannot remain anonymous. Only okay. certain claimant information can be released. And they do it to assure that the public that the lottery winners are real people. Well, screw that. So New Jersey...
Yes. Yeah. I think, too.
New Jersey, you can stay anonymous. North Dakota, South Carolina...
Delaware can remain anonymous.
Yeah, Wyoming. And in many states, is you can remain anonymous if you win over $1 million, you know, that kind of a thing. So,
but, like, who wants to move to Delaware, you know?
Well, it is Delaware. That's right. Yeah, so that is the deal. So, yeah, I guess we're losers again. Well, I'll go.
Well, I don't know. Now. I haven't checked our number. I'll have Albert check them
yes,
tomorrow and
yes.
say. But,
let
you know, yesterday was International Cat Day, you know. I sent you a text.
Oh, you did? Oh, no, I didn't see it. I'm sorry about that. I missed the cat. Sorry, cats. Well, I'll tell you, if I never hear from you again, I know you won the lottery.
Yeah, well, no, you would hear from me. Are you kidding?
Well,
I would be screaming at the top of my lungs, guess what? Guess
right. what? Well, there's pending legislation in the Senate to keep private the identities of lottery winners, in Harrisburg's talking about that right now, so... maybe by the
is there?
Yes, maybe by the time you win it, you will not have to reveal your identity.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. Yeah. Because yeah. I want to get some scratch off, too.
All right. Well, go for
know,
it.
There is one street in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. There's a mom and pop store where, like, they have had more winners than any other place in the country.
Divine intervention,
Did you ever
no
hear
doubt.
About this?
No, divine intervention, no doubt. I had a friend who was a priest there actually once. So,
really?
He's no longer with us. But in any event, that's almost it for the evening. So I will talk to you soon, and good luck on your winnings.
Okay. Thank you.
And we will pick it up there on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. We only have a couple minutes left tonight, so I figure we'll forego the bumper. And if you don't get on tonight, well, 21 hours from now, we'll do it all again, and hopefully you'll call once more. But Mike is in Mount Pleasant, or he was when he called. How's it going, Mike?
Okay, Raleigh. Got a couple of questions and a request. I'll be quick here.
All right.
A couple weeks ago, I asked for you to play the song Once Upon a Time by Tony Bennett. Did you ever get around to doing
yes,
that?
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay. Well, I get distracted. Sorry, missed it. Number two, 2 Mondays ago, there was a trivia question. This happens 27,000 times a day. What was the answer to that?
A commercial airline loses your luggage.
I'm not surprised. I worked for the TSA at O'Hare Airport
well,
once
then
upon
you,
a time.
Yeah, you know. Now, in 90% of the cases, they find it within 5 days. But let's face it, if you're on a week-long vacation, finding your luggage in 5 days is not that big a help.
That's for sure. Time's up. One last thing. I got a request. I'd like to hear the original Memphis, Tennessee by Chuck Berry.
Oh, yes.
You know, Johnny Rivers had a big
I don't think
I've ever heard the
original. Oh, you haven't? Oh, I'll play that tomorrow night for you. Yes, the long distance information. Get me Memphis, Tennessee. Absolutely.
Yes, I love that.
All right, we'll do that. Good deal.
I'll be
listening. Okay,
thanks.
Thank you, Raleigh. All right, good deal.
Take care.
So happy to... happy And a fine song it was. All right, so let's see what we can do here with Sherry in Naperville. If I don't disconnect myself first. All right, Sherry, welcome back to WGN Radio.
All right, so
Sherry, get to the phone. This means you. This means now. I only have a minute. All right. Well, Sherry is walking around the kitchen or something. So we'll have Sherry call us back tomorrow night, and we'll talk to James on the South Side. Are you there, James?
Yes, I am.
Well, very good.
I admit that. Okay, the lottery thing. Well, I had an interesting call today. Yes, I should say yesterday from somebody claiming to be Publishers Clearing House. I just listened, and then I laughed and hung up.
Yes, that's the way to do it. So a number of stories, and we've got less than a minute now. We won't get to hardly any of them. But, man, of course, the mysterious Denny, we covered that earlier. But, yes, people behaving.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, people behaving badly. We had several of those. I didn't get to the guy who wanted to behead the flight attendant. So maybe we'll start off with that tomorrow night, and maybe you'll call us back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'll look forward to it. And thank you for all the wonderful links. Oh, yes, and prominent judge kills wife. We got to go over that one, too. All right, thanks.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Appreciate it. All right, yeah. Yeah, he was in Anaheim Hills. This was a nice, respected judge. All right, absolutely did it. So on that note, we will do it all again tomorrow night. Until then, we thank Bob for keeping us on the air. We thank John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. It makes the show a pleasure to do so. Please do it tomorrow night. Until then, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.